One of the things that makes coronavirus so scary is that we just don't know enough about it to be able to predict what will happen. The only thing we know is that if you stay isolated, you can't get it or give it to someone else. Still, politicians and policymakers are trying to look into the future to take the steps necessary to get past COVID-19 with the least possible damage. And one person who might be able to help with that crystal ball is our next guest. Epidemiologist Larry Brilliant, the doctor who helped eradicate smallpox and is now chairman of the board of Ending Pandemics. Larry Brilliant joins us now on Skype. Welcome.
Thank you for having me.
So in a 2006 TED Talk, you described what the next pandemic would look like. 1 billion people sick around the world, more than 160 million people dying. Does what's happening now have the potential to be that bad?
Well, I think it has the potential for infecting more than 1 billion people. I'm optimistic that for this particular virus, which has a relatively low death rate compared to smallpox and others, that the death rate would be less than that. But as far as its disruption, yes, it's every bit as disruptive as I feared.
Well, and as you've been thinking about the numbers, one of the places that's popped into your head is Youngstown, Ohio. Tell us why.
Well, I have relatives in Youngstown, Ohio, and it has a population of around 80,000. And that's the number of new cases of COVID added every day in the world. That's also the number of cases that the United States has had from the very beginning of the epidemic. And probably the best health statistician in the country is Chris Murray at the University of Washington. He thinks that more than 80,000 Americans will die of COVID in the next 4 months. A city the size of Youngstown, Ohio, that many people dying in the United States in the next 4 months.
So what does that mean that the federal government should be doing right now?
We've had such a failure of leadership from the federal government. We should be, you know, demanding, I guess, that states and counties have plans for the next 2 years, their own plans. We should have a Manhattan Project for antiviral drugs, a moonshot for vaccine and ventilators, and especially a real thoughtful plan on when we are going to clamp down with social isolation, quarantine. We don't have any of those things. And really, that's what we've always had in the past from the federal government. And I have to tell you, I miss it.
When you say 2 years, the next 2 years, do you think this is going to go on for the next 2 years?
Well, I don't think it's going to go on with the intensity that it will go on in the next 4 months. But certainly it's going to have a long tail. By the way, I just read that 9 out of 10 Americans today are doing something to self-isolate, to wash their hands. That's something we can be very proud of. And that's to flatten the curve. But when we flatten the curve, we don't reduce the number of cases of the epidemic in its lifetime. But by pacing it, we reduce the number of deaths because we can care for each case better. And we also reduce the number of deaths from heart attacks and trauma and all the other things that we usually take care of all the time. Yes, I think we need a plan for a couple of years. There'll be a very big difference in 12 to 18 months when we have a vaccine. Then it will be a question of vaccinating everybody as quickly as possible and then mopping up all the hotspots in the world with a measles, smallpox, polio type of almost eradication program.
Do you think it's possible that some treatment will come up in the next couple of months that will get us through it faster than 2 years?
Oh, I'm absolutely confident that we will have an antiviral that works, but it'll take us a little while to know which ones work and which ones don't work. And then it'll take time to do safety trials and then get it into production. By the way, I talk always about a vaccine, but it is possible, and I'm optimistic, that we will find an antiviral that not only is curative, but it's also preventative. Mm-hmm. We have one now for HIV/AIDS, and we know that Tamiflu would stop an outbreak of certain influenzas. So we know that antivirals can be used as surrogate or pseudo vaccines. It'll be a lot easier to manufacture billions of doses of an antiviral. I'm hoping that we find an antiviral that is not only curative, but is preventative. I'm confident of the former in the next 4 months. I'm hopeful of the latter.
What about the calculation that some are making that the cure could be worse than the disease? In other words, shutting down the economy will lead to more death and devastation than just leaving it open.
You know, I understand where that comes from. I mean, it's so hard to think about the empty streets of San Francisco. You watch the stock market and people are unemployed, 3 million people applying for unemployment. I understand where that comes from. Unfortunately, it isn't our choice. The virus leads us, and taking our, it's like a patient who's sick, taking our medicine now will prevent half of the deaths that we expect otherwise. I mean, if you look at what Chris Murray said, 85,000 people dying in the next 4 months. And if you take a look at the models that are coming out of the Imperial College in England, it suggests that there could be as many as 2.5 million Americans who die during the course of this disease. If we practice strong isolation techniques, all the things we know we must do, we'll reduce the number of deaths by at least half. That's a huge number of people to trade off for a short burst of quarantine-like effects. The economy is terribly important, but people are first.
What do you think that President Trump should be doing right now when he speaks to the nation? These daily press conferences have been criticized by a lot of people because they end up veering into territory that has nothing to do with coronavirus. He goes after some of his political rivals, and it sounds to some like a campaign rally. What should he be saying to the country?
I'm not happy with these, but it doesn't do any good to criticize. I urge President Trump to announce 3 moonshots, one to get antivirals quicker, 2 to get respirators and ventilators made cheaper in the United States right now, and 3 to work on test kits and to get so many test kits that they're so cheap, they're done at home like home pregnancy tests. If we do this with the power of the federal government, we create a buying consortium so that industry has a price signal that makes them put in the effort to do a Manhattan Project or a moonshot. These 3, they would be able to really stem the tide of this epidemic.
We should say that you were also the senior technical advisor for the pandemic horror film Contagion, which a lot of people are watching
right now. I reject that characterization. It's not a horror film. It's an accurate film.
Okay, fair enough. But anyway, you are the senior technical advisor. What would you say to listeners who are just really scared about what's going on right now?
I would say that the virus, the fictional virus that we created in the movie Contagion, is far worse than COVID. That virus, which killed upwards of 10 to 30% of people, that was a fictional virus. We made that movie in order to kind of refute the sentiment in the country after the swine flu of 2008, 2009, where people thought, ho-hum, if that's what a pandemic is, I'm not worried. We wanted to, kind of rejigger people's sentiments so they understood what a real pandemic would look like. And in that sense, the movie is prescient. It shows the disease beginning in a bat, going through an intermediate animal, going through a human being, the cook with blood on his clothes, and then transmitting it with a handshake to Gwyneth Paltrow and who, poor dear, we kill off in the first scene. So in that sense, I guess it's a horror film. But it's not. It's scientifically excellent. That's not what we're experiencing. But it is important to see the social disruption that Scott C. Burns wrote into that film, because we will have social disruption. If I could say one more thing, all the characters from Contagion have agreed to do PSAs. And you'll be seeing them coming out this weekend or next week. And each character will say something about whether your hand washing is important, social distancing, all the things you actually can do. And we hope that we'll get a lot of play on that so that people can use those same characters that have frightened you to now help you kind of figure out your way through, navigate the next few months.
That is epidemiologist Dr. Larry Brilliant, who is chairman of the board of Ending Pandemics. Dr. Brilliant, thank you so much for speaking with us, and stay safe.
And you stay safe and healthy. Thank you very much, Jeremy.
And Dr. Brilliant also wanted us to point listeners to the website COVID Near You. You can answer questions about your own health and track coronavirus across the country. We will link you to it at hereandnow.org.